Well, today we are finishing our Carbondale Connect series. And over the last few weeks, we've talked about our spiritual DNA as a church at Carbondale. We talked about how we function together as the body of Christ. And each of us play a vital and important, but oftentimes different, role within that body. Some are feet, some are hands, some are eyes, but when we work together, that's called coordination, and that's a real good thing, right? Things happen when we're coordinated and working together. Amazing things can be accomplished. We've established over the last couple weeks that we must not get territorial in our service. We must not get jealous or judgmental, right? And we've used that example about, what do you mean you can't see? Well, because I'm an ear. I don't see at all. I hear. And how can you not hear that? And so we've used that example to talk about there's no sense in getting judgmental, but to appreciate the gifts that others bring. Instead, we should be productive and effective and stay connected. But how do we stay connected? And that's the question I want to spend time answering this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 15, because we're going to hang out there all morning, right there in that one chapter. Jesus reveals himself and his identity using several metaphors in John's gospel. And all of his metaphors would have had significant meaning to the people of Israel. For instance, in John chapter 6, Jesus announces, "I am the bread of life." And the crowd would have collectively gasped, like, what? I can't believe that he's saying this. What could he possibly mean? Because bread had come to symbolize to them the wisdom or life-sustaining presence of God. And Jesus had just declared by saying, I'm that bread. I am the bread of life. He declared that he was the embodiment of God's presence, which would fully sustain them. And so it meant something. It meant that something was changing. It was kind of a big deal. And they understood that. But when we read that, we're like, hey, cool. I love bread. That's great. Jesus, bread, right? I mean, sorry about the gluten-free people, but this is really good news, right? We're all eating the bread in heaven. And so you can see how context kind of changes the meaning of something that we don't fully grasp exactly the way that they would have understood it. But it's really important then to be able to see the imagery that they would have understood at the time. John records Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And these particular pictures were things that the people were intimately acquainted with and fully understood. Things like sheep and vineyards and bread and gates. And you remember from the Palm Sunday when we've put up the huge big picture of Jerusalem, and you see that gate that goes around it, or the wall, and you can see all of those different gates. And so when Jesus says, I'm the gate, they instantly had an image, right? That didn't just look like their fence around their house. It looked like something much more massive, and the gate symbolized something. If Jesus were here in Oklahoma today, it's quite likely that his stories would feature oil or cattle or football or tornadoes, right? Because we understand that. The kingdom of God is like a tornado. I don't know if it is or not, but just it sounds like something Jesus might say if he were here today. But these are the things that the people of Jesus' day not only understood, but they also got that Jesus was changing and transforming all of their symbols. And the vineyard, for example, was depicted on coins, on paintings, even at the temple. Grapes and vines were huge symbols of the land that God had given his people. If you'll remember in the book of Numbers, when they go to actually just explore the land before any of them had actually gone in, they discovered these huge big clusters of grapes that took multiple men carrying them out in order to get them back because of just how big these vines were and these grapes. The type of imagery about the vineyard features heavily in the books of the Old Testament prophets. God himself tended the vine in the Old Testament to make sure the people remained in his vineyard. But in John 15, Jesus is about to change that. He's about to declare that being connected to Israel and to the land is no longer what matters as much as being personally connected to the true vine, to Jesus. They had found their identity in something collective in the nation of Israel by which they belong to God. And Jesus is about to turn all of that and say that you personally need to be connected not to a nation, but to a person, Jesus Christ. And so here's what he says starting in verse 1 of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The NIV translates the word as remain, and you see it constantly in those first 8 verses that we just read. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. You must remain in the vine. Unless you remain in me, if a man remains in me, and we hear that over and over. But a lot of us are more familiar with that from the King James, abide in me, and I will abide in you. And abide is probably a better translation of the Greek word that's used right there. But since so many of us use the NIV, we're just going to kind of roll with that and use both of those words interchangeably today. So you'll hear me say obey, abide, and remain. But remain connected worked with this sermon series. So thank you, NIV, for your help today. But the English definition of abide says continue without fading or without being lost. And that's the piece that we're focusing on this morning. How do we stay connected? How do we remain, abide, not fade in our connection or let the connection get lost? What does it mean to be connected to the vine, to Jesus? Now remember that when the Jews, including Jesus' own disciples, heard him say this, they were shocked. They thought they understood the vineyard imagery, but what they just heard him say was, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But prior to that, they've done everything as a result of their connection to Israel. And now then Jesus is saying that we're going to need to remain in him as he has remained in relationship with his Father. And this changed everything. And we may have been getting the impression this month that as long as we're connected to Carbondale, that we're okay. That somehow our identity becomes something collective. And as long as we're connected to church, then we're just fine. You identified with the spiritual DNA of Carbondale because it's yours as well. Maybe you were here during those Peratt years of evangelism or pick any other era that we talked about, and you've stuck it out, right? I've been a member up there at Carbondale Assembly for 65 years, right? I mean, I've been connected to that church forever. And I hope that somebody says something like that at my funeral, right? She was a member for 89 years. I think that'd be fantastic, or whatever age I die at, that's the age I've been connected to Carbondale. So just 110, I don't know. Right? I earlier had 50 in my notes, and I thought, well, that's only 11 years away. So hold on, wait, 50 is no good. 89, that feels better. But we think, hey, I've been connected up there at Carbondale. I'm good, right? I go to that church on Easter. I love it up there. They're really helpful. They do a great Christmas thing. And that Easter egg hunt is the best. And so we begin to think that we're connected. And that's great. And I hope that's important to you. But the real question is here, not were you connected to Carbondale, but were you connected to Jesus? Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We can do all the outreach to our community. We can visit the sick. We can pack up groceries all day long. But if the branch called Carbondale isn't connected to the vine, it doesn't matter. And if you or me, Sarah Taylor, if I personally am not connected to the vine, to Jesus, then nothing I did personally mattered either. Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And so this series has been about connecting to the church and finding a place of service at Carbondale, but it's been built on the premise that we're already connected to Jesus. But I just want to make that abundantly clear. Being connected to this church is a wonderful thing, and I want you to call Carbondale home, and I want you to love this place as much as I do, but the connection that matters for eternity is being connected to Jesus. That's the most important connection. And in order to stay connected, we have to abide. We have to remain in the vine. And so here's the first answer to the question I've been asking. How are we going to remain connected to the vine? Well, first, remaining connected means taking time. Here's the thing. Abiding implies that we'll need to just sit down and stay a while in our times with the Lord. Because you can't hurry and remain at the same time. To hurry means that you've already left. You've already gone on your way. You are getting it all done, right? We need church. We're going to get out early. It's Sarah instead of Phil, so it's going to be great. Let's hurry. Let's go. Let's go. I'm exhausted. I've been up for hours, right? And we just want to hurry through everything. But if we're going to abide and stay connected to the vine, it's going to take a little bit of time. In Oklahoma, we remain at the dinner table long enough to see if there's dessert coming. But in other places of the world, you're going to remain at the table for course after course after course, because food is a big deal and meals are a really long event. It's represented nowhere better than at a wedding. And the further east you go, the longer the wedding gets, right? So by the time you get across the ocean to Ireland, wedding's going to take all day long. And you're going to eat a really long meal, course after course. By the time you get to Africa, you're talking about weeks at a time. By the time you get to India, I mean, it's a long deal. Weddings are a really drawn-out process, and you have to remain seated. You have to remain at the table and enjoy what is happening. In Eastern Europe, the first course that's going to come out is soup. And the problem is, I don't like soup at all, right? Because it's just my food is floating, and I don't know why in soup, right? Chicken, delicious. Noodles, love them. Why are they floating? I don't know. That's chicken noodle soup. It's just wet food. It's just floating around. Now, if you add some heavy whipping cream, we shall talk, right? And if it's Paula Hooper's tomato soup, yes, please go ahead and sign me up. But otherwise, I don't get why we're just eating food that's floating in water. But that's the first course that comes, piping hot, boiling hot liquid. You can't eat that in a hurry because you're just drinking hot water with chicken in it for no reason, and we call it soup, and so there's healing properties in really wet chicken, apparently, right? That's what we take whenever we're sick, but you can't hurry through a meal that's piping hot. It's not a thing. You're going to have to slow down, and you're going to have to enjoy that. And here's the other thing. No matter how fast you eat the soup at that kind of a meal, the next course isn't going to come out any sooner. It's going to come out when they decide to bring out the next course. Because a good meal takes time to enjoy in places where relationship and conversation are valued above time. And remaining in the vine means we'll have to slow down and abide with Jesus, to spend time at his table, to sit and to enjoy his presence, because he has course after course after course after course of good things to give to us, to set before us, to begin to speak with us about. But it's going to take time in order for us to sit down and listen to what Jesus wants to say. Remaining in the vine means that we have to be quiet for a little while sometimes. And that's really hard for us to do. Most of us do not like the silence. It means abiding means that we may need to turn off the TV or turn off our phone in order to hear from Jesus. And it may even mean that we need to turn off the worship music and just sit and just listen. And some of us are looking like, are you kidding me? You sit in silence. I'm going to worship Jesus. You listen to Jesus, because I don't want to sit in silence. It's terrifying to some people to be able to be left alone with their own thoughts. But sometimes that's what it requires. For most of us, sitting still in God's presence, just listening to see what he has to say, is disconcerting. But here's the thing. God is always speaking. It's just that I'm not often listening. And God has so much that he wants to say to us. And again, some of us sit in God's presence just listening to see if God's going to speak, and we think it's laziness. You want me to carve out time in a busy week to just sit and be quiet? But in every other relationship you have, taking time to listen and hear them out is considered a really good communication skill, right? So I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just guessing, right, that in a marriage, if you never listen to the other person, that's going to be a problem, right? I cannot listen to you because I'm the one talking. I will do all the talking in this relationship. Nope, you cannot give your opinion. I am talking. Please do not interrupt me while I speak. And if that's what's happening, you might need counseling. I don't really know for sure, but I'm just saying. But we do that to the Lord. I do that to the Lord. I talk all the way through, and the Lord's like, I'd really like to get a word in. No, God, I'm not ready to listen yet. I'm still talking. If you just wait a little bit longer, Lord. Oh, ran out of time, but I'm glad I got all my words in. And what happens is that we miss the opportunity to hear God speak over us, to speak to us, to sing over us. The Bible tells us that that's what he does. And most of us never hear the song because all we're doing is talking. And sometimes it takes a little while to just sit and to listen. And we should practice listening and abiding with Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to connect with God by carving out time to spend with him. The second thing that we have to do is to remain connected. It means knowing his word. Verse 7 tells us, if you remain in me, then my words remain in you. I'll get this right in a minute. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. There we go. His words cannot remain in us, though, if we don't know what his words are to begin with. If we've never started with his words, then we certainly can't remain in them. And regular reading of God's word is vital to our spiritual health, as it's what keeps us connected to the vine. The vine is the source of life, and we will wither and die when we stop getting its nourishment. Now, I'm not outdoorsy at all, and I think most people know that about me. Gardening is very stressful. It's not something that I want to partake in. It causes me to kind of lose my mind. So for me, there's four categories of plants. You got trees, you got flowers, you got shrubs, you got weeds. I really can't identify them any further than that because it's just not important to me. I think I can probably get you the difference between a rose and a tulip. But the point being, I don't really know much about my flowers and my plants and my shrubs, but I do know that flowers are beautiful when you bring them into the house and you put them in the vase and they look so pretty, but they're only going to stay pretty for a short little while because they're no longer connected to the source, right? They're no longer connected to the whatever thing that they grew on. I don't know, shrub, the bush, the plant, I don't know. See, the analogy breaks down when you have no idea what you're talking about, but you can come inside and you can put the flowers in the pretty vase and you can use the plant food, but that's only going to sustain it for a little while because it's no longer connected to the source. And you might get by on your favorite verse that grandma cross-stitched on a pillow for a short while, but to flourish and grow, you're going to need to remain connected by knowing his word. Just knowing that one verse is sort of like just having a little bit of plant food. In order to get nourishment, to actually flourish and to continue to bloom and continue to produce fruit or to continue to flower, you'll have to be connected to the vine. You'll need to know then his word to allow it to continually form you and transform you and continue to nourish you. There are all sorts of Bible reading programs and apps to be found, and if you find it difficult to just open the Bible and begin to study the word on your own, then read and find an app that will help you. The YouVersion Bible app right in the middle is the icon that says plans. Hit that. Just choose one of those. They're going to give you a verse. They're going to give you a little something else to read that day. And that's a great place to start, to begin to connect with God's word. Work up then and find, okay, if they're just giving me one verse, I'll go read the full chapter that that verse is in. And we just begin to grow then in our ability to study and to read the word. There are a lot of ways to begin to start or to start again connecting to Jesus through his word. A common reason why people don't read the word for themselves is they say it just doesn't make any sense. It's really hard to read the word. I try, but I just don't really get what it is that it's saying. And so can I encourage you, if that's the case, to be in a Sunday school class. This summer, as they study the book of Hebrews or the parables in a Sunday school class, it will not only cause that book or those stories to come to life for you, but it will give you tools for studying other books and other passages on your own in a similar fashion. And so I just would encourage you to be in a class then. Learn how to study God's word, because it's what's going to keep us connected. It's going to help us to remain connected to the vine. But in order to remain connected, you'll have to do something beyond just attending church. If hear the word of the Lord on Sunday morning is the only time you're hearing or reading a chapter of the Bible, then you'll discover that your connection to Jesus will begin to fade. Abide, spend time, connect to Jesus through his word, and let it challenge you and encourage you and transform you. The third thing then, remaining connected means praying. Again, we look at verse 7 and it reads, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, this isn't a recipe for how to get all your prayers answered in three easy steps, right? But it is an indication of how to not get your prayers answered. If we fail to remain connected to the vine, then it makes sense that our prayers will not be as effective. Prayer is important for abiding and remaining in the vine. And my guess is, with all of the storms that we've encountered this week, our prayer life has increased a little bit this week, right? We've been doing some other praying for other people. I know last night I got a text from Phyllis. Are you watching the weather? No. Do I need to be? About that time, the phone began to tell me to take cover. She was like, yes, it's on the ground in Kellyville. So now I'm on the phone with Beck. I'm texting other people. And now then we realize it's past us. But then we hear them say and put on the screen Red Fork. So then I'm saying to Beck, Red Fork? That's our people. Jesus, help everybody in Red Fork. And then it said 44 and 75. That's the church. We start praying for the church. Then they say it's right off the creek. And they give it. I say, Beck, where's Pastor Brittany's house? Right there. Oh, God, help Pastor Brittany. And then I couldn't get a hold of her. And it was very upsetting for a couple of minutes. And then it kept going, and I thought, no, that's off the creek. That's the Lars house. So I prayed for the Lars. I was praying for all of you guys as we watched that tornado just begin to track last night. And so there was a lot of conversation, a lot of me just talking to the Lord. Oh, God, help all the people. Oh, God, help us to get through this storm last night as we watched it track. And so that's the kind of prayer that begins to happen when we remain connected. But also that needs to be happening on a daily basis, not just in a moment of panic, in a moment of crisis, but daily being in the vine, daily praying then to remain connected in the vine is what is important. When we're connected to the vine, it is the power and presence of Jesus that flows into us as branches. Daily conversations with Jesus happen in those times of abiding. And as a result, we can be confident that our prayers are in accordance to his will and his purpose. Prayer for ourselves and prayer for others happens when we're connected to the vine. We can pray then with power because we're connected to power. We're connected to Jesus. We can expect Jesus to show up when we're connected because he's always with us and he promises to never leave us. He's present and he is Emmanuel, God with us. He shows up because he's already right there. We can believe that healing flows and help comes and change occurs when we pray as a result of our connection to the true vine, to Jesus. Staying connected by cultivating a life of prayer, not just in panic or in tornadoes, but remaining in him and cultivating that life of prayer will help us to stay connected to the vine. The fourth thing is that remaining connected means that we will bear fruit. Verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And love and obedience are two fruits that we produce when we're connected to the vine. So here's how the rest of that passage in John 15 reads. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And for a second time, he says, "This is my command, love each other." And when we remain connected to the vine, it means we produce fruit, fruit that will last. That fruit looks like obeying Jesus' commands, which he received from the Father, and it looks like loving others. This type of fruit is how we show that we are disciples. That's what verse 8 said. Here's how you're going to show yourselves to be my disciples: by bearing much fruit. And so disciples of Jesus remain connected to the vine, and they bear fruit, period. That's the way that we live as disciples. There is no, "Well, I show my discipleship in other ways. I post Facebook memes about the Lord," right? That's fine, but that isn't the same as abiding and producing fruit. There's only one way that happens, that we show our discipleship. We abide. We know the Lord. We're intimate with the Lord. We know his word. We're praying, we're listening, and we're bearing fruit. That's the way that we become disciples of Jesus. Our times of abiding, spending time with him, again, reading and studying his word, praying, they're to produce fruit through obeying commands to love and serve and help others. The nature of Jesus, to serve and not to be served, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to lay down our life for our friends, it flows through us because of our connectedness to the vine. Obedience to God's word and love for others becomes a natural outflow. And so how do we remain connected to Jesus and to his love? By producing fruit. And what kind of fruit are we producing? How connected we are to the vine will answer that question. Because we produce good fruit when we're connected to the source and getting all of the nourishment and the strength that we need. But we shrivel and we die and are unable to produce anything at all when we lose that connection. Productive lives of eternal significance is how a professor at AGTS described it. What is your connection to Jesus producing that will last? Because something lasting and eternal should come from our time spent in connection with Jesus. If we're staying connected to Jesus and we're praying and studying his word and we're knowing what his commands are, but then we're not putting it into practice, that doesn't actually make any sense. There should be something that happens, an effect of the fact that we have spent time with the Lord, and now then that flows out of us into others. There should be something that we have to show for the fact that we are connected to the vine. What kind of fruit are we producing? Make sure that we're producing something that will last. Finally, remaining connected means we will love others. And it brings us full circle to all the things that we've been saying this month. If we're connected to Jesus, then we will by nature love all the people. It will just happen as a natural outflow. Jesus loved and he says to remain in my love. And when we're connected to that vine, then that begins to flow through us and we love all the people. We love old people and young people and little kids and sticky kids and rich people and poor people, smart people and not so smart people, people of all colors and creeds and religions, legal people and illegal people, people in need, people who have all their material needs met, people we like and people we don't like, just people. That's who we'll begin to love, or as Jesus once called them, neighbors. When we're connected to the vine, the love that Jesus has for all the people flows into us, causing us by extension to love others. And suddenly then old people loving young people, and young people loving old people, and white people loving black and brown people, and all the people standing in the fourth Sunday food share line loving each other. And it becomes not something that we have to work up inside of us to find love for our neighbor who is different than us. But instead then when we're connected to Jesus, that love is just there. It's just flowing out of us. It's just flowing through us and onto others. And that's what being connected to his love looks like. We remain connected to the vine, and then we remain connected to his love that flows through us and out of us. Verse 9 says, "Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Obeying his commands includes loving others. There are lots of ways to do that, and connecting to Carbondale is just one way, but within that, we still have a host of opportunities for you to connect here and to love others. You can work with kids in the Arc Park or upstairs in our See Kids Ministries on Wednesday nights or Sundays, or with students with Pastor Jeff. There are opportunities to visit shut-ins or those in the hospital or those in a nursing home. You can lead or host a life group or serve young families at our monthly Talking is Teaching program. We have ways you can work behind the scenes, writing cards or bagging groceries or making a meal. Connection and loving others happens in service by serving meals and serving those in need. Opportunities are there to be in the schools and to impact our community through our girls and boys programs, teaching and singing and playing an instrument, working in the media department. It's all a way to stay connected then by using your skills and your abilities for the Lord. And any and all of those things that I just said are found in that volunteer booklet that you can look over and see all the specifics for. But what I'm trying to say is this. When we're connected to the vine, spending time with him, knowing his word, and praying, the natural outflow is to produce fruit, and the natural outflow is to love others. This is what matters, loving God, loving others. And he pours his love into us. Oh, how he loves us. And he pours that love into us as we abide and we remain in him. And then we remain in that love by extending it to others. Abiding isn't easy or fast, but it leads to complete joy. Learning to take time each day to be with Jesus, even if it's just 5 minutes here or there to begin with, but they're dedicated moments. It'll help you to stay connected to Jesus. Listen for his voice because he's speaking, and he has such wonderful things to begin to say to you. He may have challenging things to say to you. He may have convicting things to say to you as well, but I promise you that if you'll listen, he will speak. Read his word. He has something to say to you through his written word as well. Pray because he wants to hear from you too. Remember that communication happens whenever we both speak and we both listen. And then produce fruit that will last and remain connected to his love, which should cause you to love each other. It's my personal opinion that staying connected to a church family will help you to live this out. Being in church will encourage you to stay connected to Jesus. It will help you to produce fruit, and it gives you the opportunities that you might need to love others. This is a great church. Not perfect, but really great. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. And so I just want to encourage you one last time as we complete this series. Get connected here and then remain connected by abiding in Jesus. And if you're here today and are realizing that you're not even connected to Jesus, right? Much less to church. I'm not connected to Jesus. The vine is on the other side of the backyard from where I'm at. But you'd like to get connected to Jesus and start a new life with him, I have really good news for you this morning. Just as Jesus is the true vine, he is also the way to God the Father. He was sent to live among us as a sinless man, and God had set the penalty for sin at death. Someone must die to satisfy that price. And Jesus, in that chapter we've been looking at, said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And that is exactly what Jesus did for me and for you. Out of his great love, he gave his life so that we would be free, that we could be free from sin. And on this Memorial Day weekend, as we honor those who laid down their lives for others, how fitting it would be for you to honor Jesus' sacrifice by inviting him to come into your life, to pour out his grace and mercy and forgiveness over your sin. Jesus is present to save and to change you completely and get you connected to the source of real, empowering, transforming, eternal life. And so this morning, you'll have opportunity to do just that when we begin to pray, that you can begin to call upon the name of the Lord, and you will find that he is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and to connect you then into the power that comes when we stay connected into that vine. So let's get connected and let's stay connected to Jesus by remaining in him, remaining in his words, remaining in prayer, and by producing fruit and remaining in his love. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you so much.